to make us the kind of church and to be doing the kind of things that Christians ought to do. And several things were thrown out and several things were suggested by different ones. And the comment was made that in one way or another, we need to present these to the group and to let them know about some of the things we discussed. And certainly that's what we want to do tonight. And hopefully what you will do is go home and think about this. And not only think about it, but make some comments or make some suggestions or present different ideas or additional ideas to the things that we have come up with. And then we can, once the first year gets in here, we can kind of put these things into action, hopefully. I am looking forward with great anticipation to that time. This is a frustrating time of the year. You got people out of town, people in town, and I'm guilty as anybody about this, and it's just hard to get any kind of continuity in the things you would like to do. But I think once we make it through this time and we hit the letdown that comes with the first of the year and all the holidays are done and over with and everybody's kind of back to normal, these are things we can be looking forward to and that we can start looking towards and act on once that time gets here. We have a lot to do. This is an area that is far from covered as far as spreading the gospel and as far as doing the things that need to be done right here. And as a group of people and as Christians meeting together in this place, each of us individually has a responsibility to be out there doing the kind of things that God wants Christians to do. And as a group of His people, we can work together towards these things and work on being the kind of church and being the kind of Christians that He would have us to be. For the first part of the lesson, I want us to look at several verses. And each one of these verses talks about things that Christians need to grow in. And things that Christians need to be abounding in, as some of them say. And I want you just to think with me about a few of these things. And then, after we've thought about this, and I'm going to present some of these ideas, I want you to think about the ideas that we throw out tonight and ask yourself, how is this going to help me to be the kind of Christian that God would have me to be? Are these things that are really going to help this congregation to develop and to grow the way that God would have it to develop and grow? So let's keep that in mind. First of all, turn, if you would, to John the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. John 13, verse 34 and 35. One of the things that Christians are to grow in is love for one another. And Jesus states this here in this passage. John 13, beginning at verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." One of the ways that we can demonstrate the fact that we are Christians and that we're a group of God's people is by showing people that we care about each other. And showing people that we stick by each other and that we really love each other the way God would have us and the way Jesus would have us to love each other. And one of the things we need to grow in is our love and is our affection for those that we worship with and those that we are joined with in this group. And as we approach the new year, I want us to try to figure out ways. How can we grow closer? How can we love each other more? How can we show the world the love that I believe is here? Think about that as we present some of these ideas. Turn to Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. And other things that Christians are to grow in is knowledge of the Word of God. And this passage that we're going to read, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, kind of covers both of these, love and knowledge. Look at this. He says, Paul writing the church of Philippi, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus to the glory and praise of God." Paul says you need to abound in more and more in love and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as a group, we need to be studying. We need to be doing things that are going to increase our knowledge and are going to develop our knowledge and cause us to grow in the things that we know about the Word of God and the things that He would have us to do. And the only way that that is going to happen is for us to get down and get out our Bibles and open them up and read them and truly study them and develop a knowledge of what He would have us to do and a knowledge of the things that He has given us that we are to use as tools as we take this to the rest of the world. The only way we're going to do it is by study. Think about that as we present some of the ideas that we're going to talk about tonight. Turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians this time. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 5. Another thing that we need to grow in as a congregation and as Christians individually is in our faith. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 3. Paul again, this time to Thessalonica, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." Paul says, grow in faith. He says, develop your faith. That's what's going to hold you in the tough times. That's what's going to keep you faithful and going to keep you strong and keep you attached to the throne of God, is the faith that you have in Jesus. And we need to grow in faith. We need to add to our faith. We need to develop our faith. And when tough times come, when things happen to us that we really can't understand and we can't explain and we just don't know why that happened, we can have faith in God that He cares about us, that He's doing what's best for us, and that He's with us no matter what. Even when things maybe seem like they're at their worst. As Christians, we need to grow in faith. And as we think about these ideas tonight, I hope that you will see that these will help us to do that. Turn over to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 9. Christians are to grow in godliness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul, again, this time to the young man Timothy, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." Paul says to this fellow, he says, grow in godliness. Develop godliness. As you work and try to teach, and as you live your life and you're on your job or at school or wherever you are, be aware of the fact that God is a part of your life. Be aware of the fact that no matter where you are or what you're doing or who you're with, God is there. He's watching. He cares. He wants you to serve Him. And I think this is an area particularly that we need to think about. What is the first thought? And we've talked about this before. That comes to your mind when you're in some kind of a situation, no matter where it is. Is it God? Does your immediate thought go to, is this something that's going to be pleasing to Him? How can He help me with this? Is one of your first thoughts to pray? Are we growing in our godliness? Are we developing godliness in our lives as we think about the Christian graces that we need to apply to ourselves? Turn over to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4, look with me at verses 8 and 9. Again, as we think about developing our love, one of the ways that we can do that, as we see here, is to grow in hospitality and in sharing things together. 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 8, Peter says, "Above all things, having fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins, being hospitable to one another without grumbling." In just a couple of verses, he talks about one way of demonstrating the love that we have and the care that we have for each other is by being hospitable to each other. Being together. Having things in common. Sharing. It'll help us to be closer. It'll help us to be better Christians. We need to grow in love. We need to grow in our knowledge and in our faith and our godliness. We need to develop greater hospitality and love for each other. And another thing we need to do is create in ourselves and grow in our desire to teach and to be active in the kingdom of God. I want to look a bit this time more at an example rather than at an actual command. Turn to Acts, the 5th chapter. And I want to use the example of the apostles. And this to me is just an outstanding passage. Because what better example can we see than the example that we get right here of Christians who are striving to please God and the way that they have developed their desire to teach and the fact that nothing is going to stop them. Look at Acts 5. We're going to read verses 40 through 42. Acts 5, beginning at verse 40. Let's get the picture. Here are these apostles. They've been brought on trial and The thought had even come that they just need to go ahead and kill these guys and get it over with, because they're preaching this Jesus and creating this great following, and it's just making the scribes and Pharisees as mad as they can be. And so they get these fellows in here, and they arrest them, they bring them in, and they've accused them of these things. And look at verse 40. And Gamaliel had said that we just need to beat him and let him go. So they agreed to this, and they agreed with him, verse 40. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So here we've got these guys. They've just been arrested. They've just been beaten. They've been commanded never to teach in the name of Jesus again. They would kill them if they did, was the indication that was left. And they let them go. So they're free. Now what do they do? Look at verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They've been beaten. They've been threatened. They've been warned not to teach and not to preach Jesus Christ. And yet, the very first thing they did after they were released is, one, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame. And two, they went out and just kept on teaching and preaching Jesus in every house. What does that mean for us? Here we are. Nobody's beating us. Chances are pretty good nobody's even really threatened us very much. They may make fun of us a little bit. They may pick on us a little bit because of the things we try to talk to them about. But that's nothing compared to what the apostles face. And yet we will use that as an excuse of, that person just doesn't really want to hear it because they, you know, and we try to come up with excuses so we just don't have to really say anything. And we need to develop an attitude like the apostles. If I'm out there and I'm trying to do what's right and I'm trying to teach and I'm trying to tell someone about Jesus Christ and what he's done for them and the love of God, and somebody makes fun of me for that or picks on me a little bit about that, I should rejoice just as the apostles rejoiced that I have been counted worthy to suffer a little bit of reproach on behalf of Jesus Christ. And the other thing I should do is get out there and just teach more and more and more than I ever have in my life. We need to grow in our desire to teach those who are lost. Grow in love. Grow in our knowledge. Grow in our faith. Grow in our godliness. Grow in hospitality and showing, demonstrating that love for each other. And certainly grow in our desire to teach those who are lost. These are things that God would have us to do. Things that He wants us to do as Christians so that we can be children of His. Now, how are we going to do that? Several ideas were put forth, and that's what they are. There may be a better way. You may have it. Tell us. We want to know. But as we go through these, as I've already said, think about the things that we have just discussed about in the passages that we have just read, of things that we need to be growing in and developing in. And then see if these things will help us to do that. Because if they will help us to do that, that's what we're looking for. But if they don't, we need to think about other things. Things that we may need to do a little bit differently. Let's think about these things as we go through. First of all, one of the things that was brought out is that one thing we need to do is find out who is willing to do what. And I don't know if y'all remember back during the summer when we met at Tony and Robbins, and Greg was out there with us and talked to us a little bit about going out and teaching and how to ask for a home study and how to ask somebody to study the Bible with you. And one thing he handed out was a questionnaire, basically, that just asked, what would you be willing to do? Things like, would you be willing to teach a home Bible study? Or would you be willing to have that study in your house? Or would you be willing maybe to make the contact and then pass that contact along and say, I would like for somebody to go out and see this person? What would you be willing to do? What does this do? This helps us to organize. It helps us to realize what each of us can and will do, and then we can develop this and organize this thing so that if somebody over here is willing to go out and make some contacts or know several people that like, they can bring that name to this person and that person can contact them for a study or whatever, and it allows us in an organized way to go about doing the things that God would have us to do. And it'll help us, I think, to do this in a better way so that everyone has the opportunity to participate and to join in and to be a part of it. But I want to hasten to add that cooperation is going to be needed. This is not something that just a few select people are going to be able to do. This is something that we all need to get involved in. This is something that as a congregation, that as a group,
We need to be focused on and looking towards. And we need to be willing to do just as much as we can to try to do the things that we hope to accomplish as this new year rolls around. Another thing I think we could do in conjunction with this is each of us, as we develop this database, so to speak, of what each person can and will do and what they're willing to do, if each of us would then maybe come up with a few people that we would like to contact, that we would like to maybe try to develop a study with. And it may be that I'm not totally comfortable going to them by myself, and I may want you to go with me, and you put down on your card that, or on your sheet, that you're willing to go with me or with someone to make a contact or to knock on a door, and I can ask you to go with, and we think about it, if each of us could come up with just three names. Think about the number of contacts that would be that we would need to get in touch with and try to contact about having a Bible study and to talk about Jesus Christ to them. These are things that we can do, but we're going to have to organize ourselves. So one thing that I think, and this was a suggestion I made that at first year, pass these things out. Fill them out. What are you willing to do? And if you put down that you're willing to do it, don't be real surprised when somebody comes up and asks you to. So if you're not willing to do it, don't put it down, because we're going to have to be using what you say you're willing to do. So that's one of the ideas that we have. Another thing I would like to see us develop is a greater consciousness and a greater awareness, as we said, of godliness. And I would like for us to do that through prayer. And one of the suggestions I would like to make is that as we approach this new year and as we look at the things that we hope to do, I want us as a congregation to work together to pray more than we do right now. And I think this involves meeting together in different people's homes. And maybe just a situation arises that we really don't know what to do with. Why not all of us get together in a common place and spend time praying to God about it? And asking Him to help us. And asking Him to be with us. Think about what this would do. One, you're taking your problem before the being that can do something about it. You're calling on help from the one who can help. Two, it brings us closer together. It helps us to share more. It helps us to develop the kind of love and the kind of care and the kind of feeling that we should have for each other. I think about this Brother Yancey's recent sentence. Wouldn't that have been a good time for all of us to have gotten together somewhere and prayed? And I know y'all have done that before. And I think about just this morning, Mr. Kepler, and the fact that he just passed away, and he's been going through agony for months over this. Tremendous amount of pain and sickness and discomfort. And maybe our prayers, we could have gotten together and we should have prayed about that. And here in just a couple of months, we've got a meeting coming up with R.J. Stevens. And this is a meeting where we need to get out and be talking to people and inviting them to come with us. And wouldn't it be a good thing for us to get together before that meeting comes around and pray and ask God to help us as we talk to people, that they will come and that they will respond to that invitation that we give them, and ask God to be with Brother Stevens as he travels here and that he will be healthy? And can you see how that might help? One, it gets us focused. And two, it's asking God to help us with it. What about getting together and praying for the lost? As we enter into this new year and as we are working hopefully harder than we ever have before to try to find lost souls to convert, souls that will be responsive to the Word of God, can you not see that if we as a group will get together and ask God to help us with that, that'll probably do more good than anything else we could do? We need to be praying for this group. Praying that we will be the kind of people God would have us to be. Praying that we will make the kind of decisions that God would want us to make. Praying that we will do the things that He would have us to do. We need to meet together and we need to pray for ourselves. And as more and more we become familiar with those who are in foreign works, and we think about E.R. Hall and Larry Bailey, while they're not in another country, they're in a difficult part of this one, and these fellows need our prayers. And to sit down one night and spend an hour praying for them and asking God to be with them and to help them and to give them open doors and to strengthen them and encourage them, it does two things. One, it makes us aware of their situation. It puts us more in feeling for them and more aware of the kind of things that they are facing and the things that they are going through. And two, it's calling on God to help them. And He's promised to hear us. The power of prayer. Special problems arise. Things we really don't have any idea how it's going to work out or what's going to happen. We don't even know what's the best thing to pray for, maybe. But we still need to pray. Last week, and many of you already know this, my cousin had a little baby who was born very deformed. And the baby has so many physical deficiencies on the outside, and they still don't know as far as mentally and internally what all the difficulties may be there. They had no idea this was going to happen. Weren't prepared for it in the least. What do you pray for? I don't know. But I know we need to pray. I know we need to ask God to be with them and ask that His will be done concerning this child. Special things come up. And I'll tell you what, I think it'd probably be a good thing if we got together and we just spent a lot of time in prayer praising God for His greatness, for His righteousness, thanking Him for His love, thanking Him for what He has done for me, thanking Him for the physical things that He's given us, and certainly thanking Him for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, and just offering praise and adoration to Him in prayer. This will help us. I'm firmly convinced that if we will pray together more, and as we focus on a new year, and as we focus on trying to do the kind of things that God would have us to do over the course of the next year, I think prayer needs to be a major part of the plans that we make along those lines. Just some other basic things. What about this? How about if we meet together each month for a potluck dinner on Sunday afternoon? Wayne made the comment in one of the meetings several months ago that every time we have a potluck, we always say that we need to do this more. But we don't. But spending time together is important. Being with Christians is important. If the only time we spend together is when we're here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, how can we really get to know each other? How can I know what your needs are? How can you know what my needs are? How can we really have the kind of care and the kind of feeling for each other and the kind of love for each other that God would have us to have? We need to spend time in social things together. Our very closest friends should be Christians. Our very closest friends should be members of this group. We've got to pull together. We've got to work together. We've got to strive together to accomplish the things that we hope to accomplish. One person alone ain't going to be able to do it. It's going to take all of us going at it with the energy that we can put into it. And one way we can do this is by being together maybe a little bit more. And that's just one way of doing that. How can we develop our knowledge? Just a suggestion. Maybe once every couple of weeks we have a Bible class on a night that we decide on. Or maybe we can work out some way of maybe having a couple of classes during the course of the week. It could be some of us could meet together on a Tuesday night, some on a Thursday, maybe some on a Friday. But all of us may be studying from the same book in the Bible or whatever, all of us having the same basic study, but maybe just at different times during the course of the week, and do that on an every other week kind of basis. What does it give us? It gives us something in common. If we're all going through the book of, let's say, 1 Corinthians, maybe not all in the same class, it could be things came out in the class that this person over here was in, and then come out over here, and when we get together, we can talk about that. We've got things that we've all been a part of, and we've got something in common. Not to mention the fact that it's helping us to develop the knowledge that we need to have of the Word of God. And do this in somebody's home. In different homes. Brings us together.
It brings us together to study. It brings us together as a group of God's people. It'll help us to get to know each other. It'll give us something in common. These are things that we can do, and certainly things that I think we should do. One thing that was brought up, and I think this is an outstanding suggestion, is that in this area during the summer, there are just tremendous opportunities to go to meetings and different things. And down in Coleman, there are a lot of things going on. And up here in Athens and even Nashville and different areas, Florence, different areas where there are just numbers of outstanding meetings and times when we could all get together and go and really benefit from hearing the Word of God presented. And why not make it our goal over the course of the summer or the course of the year when we can? Of course, at this time, you don't have very many meetings going on. But Saturday night. This week, it's going to be Thursday night. If you want to go to a meeting, we're going to be headed over to a meeting at such and such a congregation. Meet up here. They start at 7:30, be here at 6:45. And we'll all get together, and maybe we got a couple with vans, and we can load up and head out. Do you see the benefit of this? It puts us together. We will be encouraging other people. If we can get 10 or 15 people together a night, some night, and head off for a meeting, can you imagine the benefit it would be to us if that many people were to come in and encourage us? We can do the same for others. And the benefit we'll get from it will be tremendous. Greater knowledge of the Word of God. Time spent together. Surely these are good things. The last one that I've got, and I believe the last one maybe that we brought up, and I'm sure that hopefully y'all will come up with more that we need to think about, is some kind of organized form of visitation. We have several who are shut in. I think of Brother Yancey and Sister Barnes has been mentioned already today, and no doubt there are others. And if we put together the names, and maybe that would be the best way to do it, is just to have everybody list the people that they know of who are shut in and who are sick that we really need to visit and spend some time with. There's no telling how many people we come up with in this county that we all know and that we need to visit. They may not be a part of this congregation. And work out some kind of organized thing where that's the time when we go and we do those things. It's easy, and I'm so guilty of this, to feel like others are going to do it and someone else will go and that will be taken care of and I have so much to do anyway. But that is not an excuse to neglect the responsibility that God has given me to do the things that I need to do as a Christian. And what these things hopefully will help us to do is organize and get together and all of us working towards a common goal and working in the same direction. Because with the group of people that we have here, I have the utmost confidence that we can do so much good. We can help other people. Not to mention the benefit that it would be to us. Not to mention the fact that it's what God would have us to do. And certainly that's the most important part of the whole thing. Several things have happened already. We've got the telephone, dial the daily Bible message, and numbers of you are helping with that. And I think that's super. And if we will all demonstrate a willingness to pitch in, a willingness to be a part of this and to be an active part of this congregation and do the things that we can do, all of us have different talents and different abilities, and some may be able to do one thing and some can't do other. But if we'll all do what we can, put aside the excuses, and determine that over the course of this next year, I am going to serve God greater than and better than I ever have before, I think the growth and the increase that we would see as a result of that would be tremendous. God will be with us. He'll help us. And we can do it. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want you to be in there with us doing this over the course of this next year. We want you to be a part of us. And if you have not been doing the things that you know you need to do and you've kind of slacked off and just haven't given it a wholehearted effort, none of us may even know about it. You may know. And I ask you and I encourage you and I plead with you for the sake of your soul to go home and ask God to forgive you. And come back with a renewed determination to serve Him.
and a renewed determination that no matter what comes and no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to be active, and I'm going to be the kind of child that He will be proud of. I'm going to stand up to Jesus Christ no matter what comes. And I'm going to show God that I'm going to serve Him by the faith that I do. And the action that I take in His kingdom. And the action that I take is I'm a member of this congregation that we trust you. As I said, I look forward to the year that is ahead with tremendous amounts of anticipation. Because this is a good group of people. There are numbers and numbers and numbers of solid Christians who want to serve God. And if we will channel our energy and focus our intents on common things and work together and pull together with the help of God, serving Him, there's no telling how much we can do. The good that we can do in His kingdom. And that's what I want us to do over the course of the next year, because you're going to have to have. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation, come right and walk together. We stand up and walk.